I don't want to forget which pocket I put it in. Last Sunday, I was up here trying to figure out where did I put that thing. That just shows you sometimes we have short memories. We've been on the study last 3 weeks. We've been studying about God's eternal purpose. And of course, this is the last lesson that we're going to have on this particular subject. God's dispensation finalized. First of all, I would like to go to Acts chapter 1. And I would start reading there at verse 8. When Jesus says to the disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said also, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So what an important point that was made to the disciples. I just can only imagine in my mind, and it's hard to imagine in my mind, exactly how awesome that was for the disciples to see our Lord and Savior ascend into a cloud. We have in the past 3 weeks, we have looked at several points about God's eternal purpose. The first one we looked at was the Holy Spirit, its part that was played in that beginning in God's eternal purpose, and how we receive the Holy Spirit today. And then we saw the invitation that Christ offers to all mankind. He welcomes all men to be able to come and to be saved. And it's your choice. It's entirely up to you. He's not forcing you to do it. He's just telling you some of the things, some of the benefits in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we saw as well last week in our lesson that Christ requires of men what he requires of men. Well, this morning we're going to look at what follows. First of all, Jesus' return. I would like for you to first of all turn to the Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. We have several passages of Scripture that I would like to consider in our lesson this morning. The first thing that the Hebrew writer brings out is, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." So the one point that I would like to focus on, first of all, is that every single individual upon the face of the earth has to die. You know, that's the one thing that's hard for us to conclude, that everybody has to die in order for us to be able to receive our eternal reward. Because the Scriptures teach that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we've got to shed this physical body. Death is as much a part of life as the birth of a baby is. So we need to understand that that's something that has to take place, as the Hebrew writer brings out. He uses as that example for us to understand it, that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He didn't have to go and offer himself several times. That one time was enough for us to be able to have the chance of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we do not know what we will look like. That's the one thing that that I've been asked so many times, and certainly is a question I have asked on many occasions myself, what will we look like? Well, I'd like for you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I want you to notice what John writes here. He says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him." The first thing he points out here is not everybody is a child of God. Just because you live on this earth doesn't mean you represent a child of God. But only those who are willing to obey Christ are children of God. So we have to understand that's an important feature here, that we need to understand that in order to obtain eternal life, we have to be a child of God. Then he goes on to say in verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Now look what John says. He says, we don't know what we will be. We have no idea. We have no idea what our spiritual body looks like. Does it look like my physical body? I don't know. All I can tell you is the physical body has to go back to the dust. Jesus Christ's body did not go back to the dust. His body didn't see corruption. Our body sees corruption. So I can't tell you what that spiritual body looks like. I can just tell you it will be like Jesus. It will be like God. It will be like the angels in heaven. It will be a spiritual body. Oh, the important thing, the most important thing, is that you be obedient to the gospel of Christ so that you can be able to be ushered into the wonderful gates of heaven for eternity. Oh, there's other passages that bring these points out so well. As I turn to Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to turn there, when Paul writes to the church there at Philippi, I want you to notice what he says to them beginning in verse 20. We had this in our lesson last week as well. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." So look what he says here. There's going to be a transformation made here. And we're going to be transformed into a glorious body. John can't tell us what it looks like. Paul doesn't tell us what it looks like. But he does tell us this much. It will be a glorious body. Now that's really important. Will we know each other in heaven? That's another thing that I've often asked the question. And it truly is a wonderful question to ask, because I certainly would like to know those people that lived here on earth, made it to heaven. But would I like to know the ones that didn't make it, got there, didn't get there? You know, so turn to Matthew, and I want to note what Jesus had to say, beginning in verse 23. We're going to start at the verse 23, because it was the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Him and asked Him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third even to the seventh. The last of all, the women died also. The woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said, you are mistaken. You not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what is spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, I am the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So here in this particular passage of Scripture here, this passage does not say we will be angels. You know, there's some people that think that when someone dies, they become an angel. No, that's not what this Scripture says. This Scripture said they will be as angels. That means they will be a spiritual body. That means they will be a glorious body. All the things that we've seen, that's what that means. That's what that body will be. But, important point here, no marriage is in heaven. Oh, wow. Wow. You know, that really, a lot of people have this idea that they will meet their mate in heaven. And they may, but they won't be married. And they won't know who they are by the description that we have in the Scriptures. A glorious body. We don't know what kind of body it's going to be. It's going to be glorious. You know, my thought has always been this. If you make it to heaven, you're not going to really care who's there. You're going to be so excited about you being there. I mean, that's what's going to be the most important part of it. Is we're going to see Jesus, we're going to see God. Oh, what a wonderful thought. There's nothing more glorious and more wonderful than that, to look face to face to Jesus, to see God, and to be with Him forever. What a wonderful thought. That's such a wonderful thought. And then, of course, we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As Paul writes to the brethren there at Thessalonica, and I encourage you to take a look at what the writer has to say here. And I bring this point out because I want people to understand that there's not a certain individual on the face of this earth that has ever lived from the time in the beginning of Adam and Eve all the way up to the time that Jesus comes that's not going to experience the fact that Christ has returned. I want you to see what he says. Verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Well, they're comforting words. And he's talking about those who are Christians. He's not talking about all the world here. He's talking about those who are in Christ. Wow, what an enjoyable thought. What a wonderful thought. The dead will be raised. John chapter 5 brings this point out and verses 28 and 29. And I want you to notice what Jesus says here. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come forth, those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I want you to notice something here. All will be raised from the dead. Even the patriarchs, Abraham. I mean, you think about that. When I think about that, I think, man alive. They're in paradise right now, but they're going to be raised from the dead as well. And He makes this point so clear. But also those who are evil will be raised from the dead. At time, the Hadean world is holding all the spirits of all the individuals that have ever died upon the face of the earth. The righteous in paradise, those who are not righteous, those who are ungodly, those who have chosen their own way of life, in Tartarus, awaiting the coming day of Jesus Christ. They're going to come out of the Hadean world. Jesus was in the Hadean world. He was only there for 3 days. The thief on the cross was there that was beside Him, that Jesus told him, "Today thou shalt be with Me in paradise." He's in paradise. Well, you have people all the time saying, "Well, He never was baptized." No, He wasn't. Because Christ hadn't died yet, and His law didn't go into effect. It only went into effect when He died. You see, He is the Alpha. He is the beginning of the Christian dispensation. But He is also the Omega, the end. And we're talking about the final days of the Christian dispensation. We're talking about the end. Oh, for those who are in Christ, it is going to be a wonderful day. For those who are outside the gospel of Christ, it's going to be a very sad day. That's why we urge so much that people be obedient to the gospel of Christ. Then I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll be back here to chapter 15 in our lesson in a little bit. But I want us to notice verse 51, beginning here. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up into victory." When that happens, Christ will have given Satan a crushing blow to the head, and it bruised his heel. Yeah. That will be the end. There will be no more. Each and every one of us have to change before we can enter into the kingdom of God on that wonderful day when Christ returns. The judgment. I go back to Acts chapter 17 for just a moment. I'll be back to 1 Corinthians 15 in just a moment. Acts chapter 17. And I want you to notice when Paul is there on Mars Hill, what he had to say to those folks there. He said, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead." Look what the passage says. God has appointed a day on which Christ will return. God has done that. Haven't you read several years ago these people that were expecting Christ to return, and they had gathered up all this food into this locker here, you know? We're going to find out that wasn't smart either. But they expected Christ to return, and they were going to be prepared for it, and He didn't return on the day they said He was going to be. And that was a doctrine that was teaching that. And so they changed their mind. Well, He wasn't ready yet. And so they just keep on putting out there a day that Christ is going to return. God appointed that day. No one knows what day it will be except God Himself. Christ will know when God says, it's time. Yeah. Wow. So don't believe that somebody else can figure out what day it's going to be. And don't believe that they can read the book of Revelation and determine the approximate time. That won't happen either. We will be individually judged. You will not be able to write on your parents' shirt tail because they were Christians. You stand before God yourself and answer to God yourself. And here's the way Paul put it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 14. And I want you to notice what Paul says here. Beginning back here, I want to pick up, if we would, just a little bit further back in this passage than what I have on your outline. I want you to pick up verse 10 here. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And I've told you this before in my lesson. There's not a single individual that's ever lived upon the face of the earth. I don't care what they believed. They're going to bow their knees before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they're going to confess to God, even though they may not have believed in Him living on earth. They will confess it then. So then each one shall give account of himself to God. Yeah. That's what the Scriptures tell us about this. There will be a separation, and I love going to this passage here, Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 25. The other writers give the account as well. I like the way that Matthew brings it out for us. It seems to be pretty easy to understand. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, to the sheep, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then He tells us some of the things that we have done and that we have obviously done that were righteous works, and some didn't do those righteous works. We move down to verse 41 and talk about the goats in verse 41 on the left hand. Then He will say to these on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And in verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Look, there's only two choices here, folks. Only two. You can either eternally be in heaven, or you will dwell eternally in hell. That's the only two there are. There's no in between. And if we're not willing to subject ourselves to Christ's commandments and to God's laws, then we will truly be lost. If we turn our Bibles over to Revelation chapter 20 now. And I want us to note what John writes here in this passage of Scripture. Revelation 20, beginning here in verse 11. Again, I want to back up to verse 10 to catch context again. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose the face of the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in it, in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, what the Scriptures talk about, there's a first death, which that's when we all die while we're here on earth. That's the first death. We have to shed the physical body. We understand that. The second death, everyone doesn't have to die. You see, what God is offering all mankind and what Jesus is offering all mankind is that you can live eternally with God. It's your choice. It's up to you whether or not you want to go to heaven or not. Wow. You know, we use this statement, well, I hope so. Yeah. But we should also know when we're doing right and when we're doing wrong. And if there's some sins that we don't realize that we have sinned, then we ask forgiveness for those as well. Oh, that tells me the importance of praying without ceasing, doesn't it, you? So that we can have our sins forgiven. Oh, my friends, there's not one individual on the face of the earth that I can think of that has a desire to go and spend eternity in hell. I would like for us to take a look at what Jude said. If you turn your Bibles over to Jude, I want to back up to verse 5 in this particular passage. And I want to make this point because I want us to understand about Tartarus, the waiting place for those who are not following Christ. But I want to remind you, verse 5, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. I want to stop there for just a moment. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? All those who did not believe are there. But also the angels that did not keep their proper domain are there as well in the Hadean world. This passage brings that out so well. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh are set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, Lord, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally. Like brute beasts in these things, they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom there is reserved for blackness and darkness forever. This particular passage of Scripture brings out so many things here when he describes who these spots are. He describes them here. Terrible way to be, to have died in that state. So we recognize that indeed those who have died and who have left the face of this earth are in the Hadean world waiting the coming of Jesus Christ. Now the last point on your outline. Passing of present age to eternity. I said we'd go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so let's go back there. And I want to pick up at verse 22. For since man came, death by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God. I want you to pay attention to what he says. The Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is expected. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Did you catch that? Christ is going to hand back the authority that he has now back to the Father. Yes. Wow. That'll be the end. I am the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the end. That will be it. What Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3. In this particular passage of Scripture, what we seem to notice is there must have been those individuals who are making the statement, as the Scripture brings out, where is Christ? He should have already been here already. Like they knew when he was going to come, right? No, they didn't. But I'd like to pick up our reading here in verse 5. He said, for this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which now exist are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. But he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The next verse really makes it clear. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, gone, no more, He says, you be in a holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Yeah. Just as Brandon brought out in the adult class this morning, this earth, the heavens, the stars, the moon, the sun, all of them gone. But I want to talk about a new heaven by turning to Revelation chapter 1. 21, rather. This passage we read in the last lesson. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. And he goes on to say, also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. Had one of the ministers of one of the churches there in Kentucky when a tornado came through, and one of the ministers had mentioned, you know, the church and talking about the things that they were going to still continue to do. Now Roker said, and I really appreciate what he said. He made this statement. He said, well, you know, the church is the people. You know, it caught me off guard. Because and yet it was a wonderful statement. It was a wonderful statement. He's right. The church is the people. What description is being given here is that beautiful Lord's church that Jesus Christ Himself was a major part of. And look, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Look at what the writer here, John, is saying here. When I turn my Bible over to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation as well, and I take a look at what Jesus says as well. He says, behold, I am coming quickly, verse 12, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. What a wonderful day it will be. We sing the hymn, there's a great day coming. And it is going to be a great day. The last verse of the hymn says there's a sad day coming. Now notice verse 8 as we conclude our lesson. But the cowardly and unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, wow. It will be a sad day for some. For some, it's going to be a glad day. But for some, it's going to be a very sad day. That's the end. That's when the end comes. The end of the Christian dispensation that we live under today. If you're here and you haven't been obedient to the gospel of Christ, we extend the invitation to you to come forward and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be buried with Him in the water grave of baptism, and to rise up to walk in newness of life. But I want you to understand something. That it's entirely up to you as to what you want to do. If you choose not to obey, that is a right that you have according to what God has extended in the invitation. He extends the invitation to those who want to be a child of God. For those who don't want to be a child of God, it's not required. But just understand what the end means and what it means as to where you'll spend eternity. Only two places. So if we can help aid you this morning, we certainly encourage you to come as together stand and sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus.